This is a Sunday we have set aside in the life of our congregation to honor those families in our church and community who have had births into their family in the past year. And so we ask that you parents would bring your children forward. We would like to introduce you to the congregation. And if you just come and stand here on the first step and bring those green cards, if the ushers have any green cards, bring them up at this time and let us celebrate these wonderful new children in the life of our church. You'll face the congregation now. I will introduce you. And this is a time of prayer, I think, and gratitude on behalf of us all for a new life and life that comes. Special gifts of God's love for us. And I'll just read these cards as I have them here. And if you would just sort of hold up your hand or hold your baby up, we'll all be able to tell who you are. Nina and Chris Beck bring Katrina Beck, who's been born here. Tom and Beverly Pettigrew bring Kelly Ann this morning. Add to the Pettigrew clan. Scott and Christine Smith. Andrew James Smith, down on the end here. Bob and Patty. Okay, there. Kevin Harrison, born this year. He's already been baptized. Jana and Pat Meany. No. All right. We were hoping that Jordan Christopher would get here, and he didn't make it, right? All right. Camille and Peter Wall. They're not here either. We want to celebrate. We hope these families would be here. We want to celebrate their children anyway. Ariana Kareem and Jordan Christopher. To the Meanies. So tell them their children were mentioned and honored in this service. Andrew and Lori Pujol. Bring Brian Andrew this morning for this time of dedication. Karen and John Pujol, bring Griffin Andrew this morning, and he will be baptized in a moment. And JT and Sally Greenleaf, bring Janessa and all of the wondrous life that she brings to our congregation. Is there someone that we've not introduced? All right, for the baptism. All right. The Marquises bring their baby to be baptized, and they're listed in the bulletin here. Christopher James, son of Courtney and Don. So we welcome these babies, and if you would turn in your service to the bottom of the first page, let us join now in the dedication as we have named them. We affirm these children as given from the hand of a loving Creator. With humility and hope, we accept the obligation which is ours to love and nurture them, and to lead them to Christian faith by our teaching and example. We ask for the power of the Holy Spirit that we may be good stewards of this gift of life. Amen. Thank you. We will be taking pictures in the Ocean View Room following the service this morning. You may be seated now except for the Marquises and the Pujols. We invite the families and friends that Mark...
Our epistle reading this morning comes to us from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. This is Paul's salutation to the church at Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This is the word of God for the people of God this day. Amen.
Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel for our Old Testament reading. If you're using the Bibles under the pews, it's page 281. These stories now in 2 Samuel deal with David the king. Last Sunday we read the first part of the 7th chapter, which talked about God's establishing a covenant promise between himself and David and David's heirs. And so in response to God's promise, David prays. Beginning with verse 18, we have this prayer from David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. May this be instruction for the people, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have wrought all this greatness so that your servant may know it. Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is no one like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Who is like your people, like Israel? Is there another nation on earth whose God went to redeem it as a people and to make a name for himself, doing great and awesome things for them by driving out before his people's nations and their gods? And you established your people Israel for yourself to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, as for the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, confirm it forever. Do as you have promised. Thus your name will be magnified forever in the saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel.' And the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now therefore may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall be the house of your servant, blessed forever. Amen." David was unchallenged now at the top of the heap, in command of all he surveyed. David was the king. His armies had extended Israel's borders and brought peace from Israel's enemies. David was the king, not because his mother was queen or his father was king, but because God, through the prophet Nathan, had chosen him to be the king. Nobody had thought of David as king material. He had no training for it. He was a shepherd. He wasn't even the firstborn. He did all the menial jobs at home. David was king because of the grace of God. And David ponders all this with a sense of awe and wonder flooding over him as he says, "Who am I? What is my house that you have brought me thus far?" In other words, who am I that I should deserve this? Haven't you in your life felt at times drenched in wonder that life has blessed you so? It may have been at the birth of a baby. This mysterious collection of blood and bone, flesh and hair. What will this one become? What are the possibilities that God is sending into the world through this life? Or perhaps you contemplate the dearest love of your life, the partner of your covenant love, and you are amazed that God could provide such a one to draw close to you and sustain you and care for you, even when you have nothing to recommend you. Or there may have been days in your work when you are so grateful for what you have to do, for the work that you're privileged to share, for the opportunity to do something that will make a difference in someone else's life, and your heart is filled with wonder. Or perhaps that sense has come if you have been a survivor of a tragedy. For me, it was being saved from drowning. But however, the question comes to us, who am I, O Lord, that you have brought me thus far? And we are filled with awe that life should be like this. Reunions are one of these times, I think. 2 weeks ago, I went back to Silver City, New Mexico for my high school reunion, 40 years after graduation. These reunions of classes and families are times of getting in touch with our roots, the sources of life that have sustained and shaped us, walking the streets we once walked, visiting the cemetery where mother or father and friends are buried. On our way into town, driving from El Paso, Texas, we went through Baird, New Mexico, a little town. Right on the main street is the place where I preached my first sermon, the Baird Lions Club, a rock-faced building, Easter Sunday, 1951. I was a high school senior. And there in the presence of the congregation, the wife of the district superintendent, I preached my first sermon. Our reunion spanned 10 years of classes. There were 400 to 500 in the various gatherings as we came together, including spouses. Our classes were not large. My class was about 80 people. It was a strange feeling that first night, walking into the gym, feeling I should know some of these people, but I don't. The best approach, I decided after a while, was to walk through the crowd, smiling, until somebody calls your name. And it worked. And as I began to see some of these people that I'd gone to high school with and visit with them, I was simply amazed that the bright and beautiful girls that I remembered would have married such ugly men. It's 40 years since I had seen most of them. 40 is a biblical number. 40 years, a time of wilderness life for the Hebrews, between their exodus from slavery in Egypt until new life in Canaan. And I discovered as I moved through this experience of reunion that if you stand at the beginning of 40 years, it seems like forever. If you stand at the end of 40 years, it seems like only yesterday. And there was a strange juxtaposition as I felt my way through those gathering times, as we remembered and talked. Because here were the people who 40 years ago were beginning life together. And now, many of them, a year or two from retirement, now, as far as our professional life, ending life together. These were not the people we should be ending with. These were the people you begin with. What does that mean in the sense of time? And where do those years fit in to the total scheme of things? Who am I, O Lord, that you should have brought me thus far? King David's awe and amazement moved to praise and gratitude for the Lord of hosts who is within and behind all of life's experience. Because of your promise, David remembers, Lord, I am here. It is your love for your people. It is your spirit stirring within us, bringing new possibility out of old stuff. The focus for David, as it was for Israel and Jesus Christ and for us, is in the God who initiates and blesses. It is not just children we celebrate today, it is the gift of God. And as parents, every one of you know there is much in our children that we did not put there. And we praise God from whom all blessings flow in our thanksgiving. As we drove around Silver City, and it doesn't take long, it's a little mountain community about 5,900 feet high. It is a small community. In 2 minutes, you're out in the mountains. As we drove around town, and I looked once more at that tiny little house that the four of us and our family grew up in. As I do every time now, thinking about my parents and what they meant to me and what they gave me, and I gave new thanks for them. And for the town that I did not appreciate then, I resisted Silver City as hard as any teenager could resist it. But it nurtured and blessed me. On Saturday, we took a little picnic outside of town in the mountains, my best high school friend and his wife and Claudine and I. I'd forgotten how blue the sky could be and how white and beautiful the cumulus clouds are as they begin to gather their moisture before the summer rains in a dry country. And it was as if we were back 40 years ago talking about life with the same kind of openness and confidentiality, talking about the people of our families who were there no longer, and the friends who were not around anymore. And my heart again and again through that whole time was moved to give thanks to God and praise to God for the bonds that knit us together and hold us fast and keep us a part of a human community. Even though we are one in all the world, we know there are those elsewhere, perhaps, who still remember, who still care. David's prayer ends in dedication to God and response in service. He acknowledges his role and calling to serve God. No one encounters God's love and remains unchanged. If we are touched by God, we must do something. Reunions are a time to say, "Thank you, I appreciate you, and forgive me." We can't recapture the past or change it. We can only live these days now wiser and more compassionately. We can act now, live now. We can hold our children now and pray for them now. One author wrote an article about raising children. He said, "There are too many children who don't realize how much their parents care about them. As the years fly by and they gain their independence and they go out on their own, they never have understood that their parents really enjoyed them and are glad that they had them. For their parents have grumbled too much about the task of raising children, how much time it takes, how expensive it is, what an ordeal it is." She gave a couple of examples of it. She said a former student came to talk to her. He's a fine young man. He said, "My brother is going to graduate next week, and I am too. And now, finally, maybe my parents' troubles will be over, and they'll be able to enjoy life." The teacher said she knew the parents, she knew these children, these youth were fine youth, but their parents had never been able to say to them, "We appreciate and value you, and we care very much for you." Another young man learned 5 years after his father had died, through correspondence, that his father had written his sister that he was proud of him. He had never told that to his son. Our wonder, our praise for God must take vital, active form in which we reach out and touch those around us, in which we say, as a servant of God, "Thank you for who you are." We learn from Scripture and from our own experience that for the faithful person, life begins in awe and continues through thanksgiving and ends in service. And whether you graduated 4 weeks ago, or 4 years, or 40 years, this is the day for love and forgiveness. Let us pray.